Gomarjo of Kuala Lumpur. This is TheBillPod.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the from an enormous three-star hotel in the administratively important suburb of Putrajaya in Malaysia. Today is Thursday, the 27th of August, 2015. On this date, in 410, the sacking of Rome by the Visigoths ends after 3 days. 1883, the most powerful volcanic eruption in recorded history occurs in Krakatoa, Indonesia. 1789, Wolfetone's United Irish and French forces clashed with the British Army in the Battle of Castle Bar, part of the Irish Rebellion of 1789. 1859, oil is discovered in Titusville, Pennsylvania, leading to the world's first commercially successful oil well. 1939, the first flight of the Henkel Hay 179, the first jet aircraft. 1941, in a little noted event in World War II history, Japanese Prime Minister Prince Fumiyato Konoye, a dedicated anti-fascist trying to prevent the General Staff's interference in foreign policy as well as increase parliamentary power in Japan, desperately requests a summit meeting with Franklin Roosevelt in order to prevent Japanese conflict with China from expanding into a world war. He is ignored, Pearl Harbor and war happens, the Allies win, show up, charge him with war crimes, and he commits suicide in 1945. 1979, Mountbatten is killed by the IRA. 1985, the Nigerian government is peacefully overthrown by the Army Chief General Staff, Ibrahim Babangida. 1991, Moldova declares independence from the USSR. 2003, the first six-party talks involving South and North Korea, the Bush administration, China, Japan, and Russia convene to find a peaceful resolution to the security concerns as a result of the North Korean nuclear weapons program. The plan fails, is rejected. North Korea has nuclear weapons. 2005, 10 years ago today, Shalva Ramashvili was arrested and jailed. Birthdays are Theodore Dreiser, artist Man Ray, civil rights leader and president Lyndon Johnson, singer Cesaria Evora, and author Jeanette Winterson. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, this podcast is written by Ari Swiecka. Thanks again for those posting on the forum. We got word that Ugulava does not, Tema Ugulava, does not still own the Ajara Casino, only Ajara Bet. Allegedly, they are rivals. If you'd like to comment, forum, ask a question, go to tabilpod.com or send us an email at tabilpod@gmail.com. And once again, following up on the lari, it still seems to be depreciating against the dollar. On the 24th of August, the lari lost 1.3% of its value in a single day, falling to 2.364. According to the central bank's official exchange rate, exchange kiosks in Tbilisi were selling a dollar for 2.4 lari. Then it fell dramatically again on the 25th of August to its weakest against the U.S. dollar in over 16 years, slipping from 2.364 to 2.4161. According to the central bank's official exchange rate, the lari's all-time low was 2.45, recorded in March 1999 after the Russian currency crisis. Today, it is 40% weaker to the dollar than last August. Exchange kiosks in Tbilisi were selling dollars for about 2.45 to 2.44 lari. At a morning government session on the 25th of August, Prime Minister Ghadabashvili reiterated that what he said in recent weeks, that the recent further weakening of the lari is a result of a stir caused by statements by irresponsible experts and politicians who go around predicting that the lari will depreciate even more. Economy Minister Kvitikashvili said that the government's macroeconomic perimeters showed that the external shocks that were pressuring the lari have already been completely offset. So therefore, this recent depreciation was a measure of speculative transactions and a stir among market participants. Prime Minister Ghadabashvili then picked up again that it's all speculation and this plays on people's emotions and that what's important is now to keep calm, reassuring that nothing special is going on from a macroeconomic point of view. That it's clearly a stir, which should be removed. Later the same day, the vice president of the National Bank said that they don't expect the lari to depreciate further. So everything is fine here now. On Wednesday, the 26th of August, the lari slightly recovered. Central bank's exchange rate was set at 2.3771 lari per dollar from 2.4161 the day earlier. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg is visiting Georgia. He arrived in the evening of the 26th of August, is accompanied by NATO Secretary General's Special Representative for the South Caucasus and Central Asia, James Aptaudi. Foreign Minister Tomiko Berdyshvili greeted him at the airport and said that Stoltenberg's visit is a clear demonstration of NATO support for Georgia. During the visit, Stoltenberg met with President Mark Velashvili, Prime Minister Kharibashvili, Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili, and other officials, as well as Georgian Infantry Company as part of the NATO's response force since January 2015. On the 27th of August, Stoltenberg participated in the opening ceremony of the NATO Georgia Joint Training and Evaluation Center at the Kurtsanisi National Training Center outside of Tbilisi. Speaking about the NATO summit in July 2016, he said that it's still early to say what the decision of the summit will be with respect to Georgia's getting MAP or the Membership Action Plan, but he also said that Georgia's already has the necessary tools to continue to move towards membership. They are delivering tangible results, and that the Joint Training Center will deepen our cooperation even further, and that it continues to increasing NATO's presence in Georgia. At a joint news conference with Prime Minister Kharibashvili, he said that there is more Georgia in NATO and more NATO in Georgia. As a reminder, setting up a joint training and evaluation center is part of the, my favorite international program term, substantial package of cooperation with NATO and Georgia, agreed in the summit of Wales in September 2014. On the 20th of August, 11 non-parliamentary opposition parties said in a joint statement that they will boycott by-elections to elect two members of parliament in two single-mandate constituencies, Martavili and Sagareggio. They are planned for late October. As a reminder, the member of parliament by-elections in Martavili constituency in western Georgia will fill a vacant seat in parliament after UNM member of parliament Nauli Janashia died in March. The majoritarian seat for the Sagareggio single-mandate constituency in eastern Georgia became vacant after Tiniko Khidashelli became defense minister in May. So, among those parties that pushed the boycott are Nino Borjanaj's Democratic Movement and the Labor Party. The party has said that they are boycotting the by-elections because there's a democratic electoral environment and because the government's decision to leave without response a proposal to reform the electoral system that was backed by opposition parties, civil society groups, and President Mark Velashvili. The key part of the proposal was to scrap the majoritarian component of the electoral system in time for the 2016 parliamentary elections. As a reminder, the Otsneva ruling coalition unveiled its proposals for reforming the electoral system in early June. It keeps the majoritarian component for next year's parliamentary elections, but replaces the plurality vote to elect majoritarian members of parliament by a majority vote. Currently, candidates have to get 30% rather than more normal 50%. The national movement changed it from 50% to 30% when Alassania was running for mayor of Tbilisi for the May 2010 elections. When the campaign started, he was polling at 32%. They were worried that he would beat Giyu Gulava in a runoff, so they changed the law. It was a sad day in Georgian democracy and should be changed. Otsneva's plan also redraws single-mandate districts to provide for equality of suffrage. In reality, all of these parties would simply lose these elections against Otsneva in a runoff with a 30% threshold, and there'd be unlikely to be a runoff with 30%, but Otsneva would get more than any single party. Otsneva's proposing to improve an already broken majoritarian system. What the other parties want is a much improved multi-member constituency system. Otsneva won't give it to them for this election, but may have in amendments, constitutional amendments, to take force in 6 years. The opposition and NGOs have refused. So Otsneva is proposing a little bit of an improvement a long time from now, but they probably would have gone for a giant improvement a long time from now, but now that the NGOs and political parties are saying no, they've said, okay, fine, we'll leave it the way it is, which they're quite comfortable with. The Free Democrats said that they had already decided earlier not to participate in the MP by-elections in October. Then on the 21st of August, the UNM said that it will join the boycott of the elections. UNM Member of Parliament Sergio Ratiani, who's the Executive Secretary of UNM, said that Georgia was being ruled informally by BI. It is in crisis and that the two parliamentary seats that are up for grabs in the by-elections will not help change the situation. On the 22nd of August, the Russian Deputy Defense Minister said that they deployed 500 railway troops in Abkhazia in late June in order to restore the railway connection within Abkhazia. Works are underway on the 33-kilometer-long section of railway between Ochamchide, which is a seaside town, southeast of Suchumi, and the Inguri River, which is on the administrative boundary line with Georgia. That part of the line has since has been defunct since the 1992-3 Abkhazia War. As a reminder, Russian railway troops repaired 54 kilometers of the railway between Suchumi and Ochamchiri in May and June 2008, just a few months leading up to the August 2008 war. On the 24th of August, the Georgian Foreign Ministry condemned Russia's deploying railway troops in Abkhazia as yet another aggressive and provocative action and strongly demanded that Russia immediately stop its illegal activities on Georgian territory. The statement also recalled that the deployment of Russian railway troops in Abkhazia ahead of the August 2008 war was effectively used for the transportation of army units and equipment during the military hostilities. Let us also remember that 101 years ago, it was Germany's paranoia about Russia building railroads towards Prussia that started the First World War. The Foreign Ministry also called on the international community to appropriately assess Russia's policies against Georgia and not to allow more Russian aggression. Works on the Ochamchiri-Inguri section of the railway has triggered speculation in Tbilisi that Russia might be paving the way for restoring Georgian-Russian railway links via Abkhazia. Georgian officials have denied discussing reopening the railway link. By the way, Ochamchiri was an almost entirely Georgian town before the war, but it was also a port and the only one outside of Crimea that can handle large nuclear submarines. Rumors that are that there's a fair amount of harbor infrastructure construction going on there and a great interest by the Kremlin because of this purpose. Deputy Foreign Minister David Dondua visited China late last week. In Beijing, he met his Chinese counterpart Chen Guoping. The focus was on perspectives of cooperation in the framework of the New Silk Road Economic Belt Project. As a reminder, Economy Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili signed an agreement with the Chinese Commerce Minister in the project on this project when he visited Beijing last March. The New Silk Road Economic Belt Project was announced by Chinese President Xi Jinping in November 2014. China launched the Silk Road Fund to invest in transport infrastructure in Central Asia and beyond to revive the old Silk Road trading route. And as a reminder, in March, Georgia and China agreed to start feasibility studies for the possible free trade agreement between the two countries. Founding members of the China-initiated Asian Infrastructure Bank, or AIIB, held a two-day meeting in Tbilisi on the 24th and 25th of August to discuss the establishment and operation of the bank. Officials from 57 countries attended. They elected Jin Liqin as the AIIB's president. He was China's nomination and also the interim secretary of the bank. This is the sixth chief negotiators meeting. As a reminder, Georgia signed the AIIB Articles of Agreement in Beijing in late June, along with 49 other countries. China is the largest shareholder in the AIIB with up to 30%, followed by India and Russia. Georgia will hold 0.05%. The bank will be headquartered in Beijing and will initially have an authorized capital stock of $100 billion. Before the meeting, the finance ministry said during the meeting there would also be bilateral meetings between Georgian leadership and China's deputy finance minister, Xin Yaobin, who is a permanent chair of the chief negotiators meeting. And Prime Minister Gharibashvili would also meet with Jin Liqin. Following up on who will attend the 70th session of the UN General Assembly in New York, the President or the Prime Minister, on the 24th of August, Foreign Minister Tomohiko Benashvili confirmed that a final decision that the Prime Minister will lead Georgia's delegation and will give a speech at the session and will also participate in a business forum and other events. However, President Georgi Margvelashvili will take part in certain activities. He's supposed to attend one event on the sideline of the General Assembly by invitation of his Lithuanian colleague, President Dalia Grybauskaitė. It's a discussion of the future of Eastern Europe and strengthening women's participation, and other presidents will be there. President Margvelashvili will also hold several meetings in Washington and speak at universities. No more details on those yet. Party Georgian Dream, Democratic Georgia, which is the leading party in the Otsneva ruling coalition, announced that they plan to recruit 60 independent experts to draft their campaign platform for the 2016 parliamentary elections. They posted it on the job search website jobs.ge. Applications should have, quote, comprehensive knowledge and objective analysis of political processes in Georgia over the last 10 years, end quote, and should share the values of fundamental human rights and the rule of law, democracy, social solidarity, and irreversibility of Georgia's Western course. Applicants should not be affiliated with any political party. Georgian Dream Democratic Georgia said that the experts would draft a campaign platform providing a comprehensive and objective analysis of the situation before the 2012 October parliamentary elections, as well as the changes carried out in 2012-2015. Interesting job. Wonder who they will end up hiring or who's actually doing the hiring. The Tbilisi Justice House on the Tukwadi River is having some maintenance problems. The Justice Ministry said that there are cracks in one of the petals that make up the roof in the mushroom. The National Forensic Bureau and two private companies conducted an inspection and said that water is leaking into one of the 11 petals. The Justice Ministry said the problems are because of building violations and construction weaknesses that were overlooked when the building was constructed under the UNM. As a reminder, the building has some damage before, in December 2013. Metal plates flew off the roof in a storm, and the building was shut down for several months. According to the Justice Ministry, it'll cost $1 million lari in repairs and in researching any further weakness in the construction. As a reminder, construction of the Justice House began in March 2012 and finished 6 months later. It cost $61 million and was built by Haochan Georgia Limited, a Chinese state-owned company. It employed almost no Georgians. Such was the love for this style of architecture that it was built very quickly, and all the laborers were Chinese. And lived on site. It was allegedly finished just a couple of days before the election so that the announcement could be made. The idiotic staircase that leads over the highway on the Sanapito in front is a metaphor for late national movement governance. It's designed for those who it was designed by those who drive cars, but most of the people who go to the public service offices there walk and have to go over that bridge. But the stairs, for even the most sprightly youngster, everybody trips over them. Because Zura Dejvili thought that it would look cool, he, unlike everybody else, would drive there so it has a giant parking lot on the side. It's incredibly frustrating. If Otsnebo wants to tear down a bridge and rebuild one, that's the one to do it, not the one over the river. On the 24th of August, Russian border guards abducted two Georgian men, aged 75 and 41, near the village of Bershueti on the administrative boundary line with South Ossetia. The president of South Ossetia, Leonid Tibilov, gave an interview to Komsomolskaya Pravda. He said that Tskhinvali will not even attempt to restore relations with Georgia unless Georgia signs a ceasefire agreement as a guarantee that they won't repeat August 2008. The 24th of August was Constitution Day in Georgia, marking 20 years since the Constitution was signed in 1995. There were rumors that Georgian opera singer Pata Burchiladze is going to enter politics, according to reporting from the Georgian Journal. He's quite pro-Russian. He's also close to the church. Apparently, there was a possibility in 2013 of him joining John Dibagaturi as conservative and idiotic Kartuli Dasi party, but it didn't happen. There has been no official announcement from him about his entering politics. However, John Dibagaturi manages to stay in politics. That is one of the great mysteries of Georgian politics. Academics, take note. This is a research question worthy of study. Following up on rumors about the cabinet, the rumor is now that the Ministry of Economy, Georgi Kvitikashvili, will replace Tomodiko Berechashvili as foreign minister. Other cabinet members deny knowing anything. Last week, the rumor was that Kvitikashvili would be head of National Bank, but I still think it's going to be Mana Gadze. On the 26th of August, the Ali Anino statue in Batumi was damaged while being moved. It was installed on the seaside in the summer of 2011. Now the Boulevard Administration in Batumi decided to move it somewhere 50 meters away. In June, they announced a tender for relocating it. It went for 230,000 lari to a company called Anbari 21. And now, during the moving process, the Nino sculpture fell when the cable snapped and was damaged. The Boulevard Administration said that it will be fixed in a week and everything's fine. They said the sculpture had to be moved so that the concrete seafront can be reinforced and also that the base of the sculpture was damaged during the storm. Last week, on the 20th of August, a new artifact was discovered during excavations at the Grakliani Hill in Kaspi region that has an unknown language written on it. Archaeologists from Tbilisi State University revealed a cathedral with two altars dedicated to the god of fertility, which date back to the 7th century BC, and there are unknown inscriptions on the altars. So they are saying that it could mean that Georgia has a 2,007-year-old written language, if they can decipher it. There's very little written Georgian from the pre-Christian era, so this is a big discovery. National Food Agency said they found bacteria Listeria in ice cream from the brand São Jacó. The contaminated products came from the Miquinvari factory in Samtredia, a town in Imereti. The bacteria was found in half-kilo boxes of strawberry ice cream cones, and ice cream waffles produced on specific days in August. The company is supposed to recall the ice creams. The National Food Agency will conduct special inspection, and São Jacó will be temporarily prohibited from continuing production. Football fans from Abkhazia that came to Tbilisi to see the UEFA Super Cup match earlier in August are getting flak back home. The Abkhaz organization Arua, which means soldiers, issued a statement accusing those who went to Tbilisi for the match of disrespecting the memory of those killed in the war who died for the freedom of Abkhazia, and there's talk of criticism in the Abkhaz media as well. Georgia's giving the UN, the United Nations a Kvevri as an official gift for its 70th anniversary. In 2013, the Kvevri winemaking method was registered on UNESCO's Intangible Cultural Heritage List. So next month during the UN's 70th anniversary celebration, the courtyard of the UN Geneva office will feature a large Kvevri and will stay there permanently. Reportedly, the remains of Queen Ketevan will be transported to Georgia from India. Her remains will be brought to a new church being built in the village of Mukhrani. Tbilisi City Court granted a woman control of her frozen embryos after she and her husband split. According to the case, the woman has health problems, so she can't carry a pregnancy herself. The couple did in vitro treatments and have the embryos. Then they split, and the husband was against the... That would be the marriage, not the embryos. And the husband was against allowing her to keep them and have a surrogate. The court acknowledges the woman's right to select a surrogate mother, sign an appropriate agreement, and select a clinic without the consent of her husband. Interesting case. Ministry of Culture granted the Nguri Dam cultural heritage status. It's 271 meters tall and is allegedly one of the world's tallest concrete arch dams. The culture ministry said there are plans to build a museum and sightseeing platforms at the dam. As a reminder, the dam is in Samegrelo, but the electric station is on Abkhazian territory, and Georgia and Abkhazia manage it together and share the electricity. There are also reported plans to nominate the Nguri Dam for UNESCO's World Heritage List. More airport drug busts. On the 26th of August, three people were arrested at Tbilisi Airport. Two Brazilian citizens and one South African were caught with 5 kilos of cocaine and close to 15 kilos of marijuana. As a reminder, last week, four people from South America were detained at the airport carrying lots of cocaine. And last month, a Lebanese man was arrested at the border trying to exit Turkey with 7 kilos of cocaine. According to the U.S. State Department's 2015 International Narcotics Control Strategy Report, Georgia is a transit country for illicit drugs. Seven Ukrainian servicemen wounded fighting in Donetsk and Luhansk are undergoing medical assistance and treatment at the Serovani Rehabilitation Center in Shchedrin-Kartli. It's for long-term care and rehabilitation needs. They are receiving the medical support in Georgia based on a memorandum that was signed between Georgia and Ukraine April 2015. The program is run by the Ministry of Defense, and Defense Minister Tinuko Khidasheli visited the recovering servicemen. Electricity prices will presumably go way up soon. In Tbilisi, the Regulatory Commission has a session this week, and Telasi, the company that supplies Tbilisi with electricity, applied to raise the price starting from September 2015. It's currently at 5.48 tetri per kilowatt hour and will go to 11.173 tetri. There was a lot of commotion in the meeting because it was open to NGOs and political parties to attend. People were protesting the price rise. Police detained three City Park employees after they towed a parked car with a sleeping child inside. As a reminder, City Park is a company responsible for enforcing parking rules in Tbilisi. The Ministry of Interior said the investigation was underway for illegally restricting the freedom of a minor, but the three detained City Park staff have not been officially charged yet. City Park responded that the staff was unaware the child was inside the car when it was being towed. Okay, yes, that's horrible. But what about the parents for leaving a kid sleeping in a car? During basic mountain training, instructors and cadets of the Sacheri Mountain Training School saved a Polish woman who fell into a crevasse on Mount Kazbegi. A Polish husband and wife team were hiking to 4,300 meters above sea level when they fell. The woman couldn't make it out herself. The Sacheri Mountain Training School trains Georgian cadets under NATO Partnership for Peace program. A marshutka full of tourists overturned on the road from Zugdidi to Mestia on the weekend, injuring 11 people with three in serious condition. The marshutka allegedly crashed into a utility pole after the driver tried to pass a car in front of them, but then had to swerve out of the way of oncoming traffic. The accident is adding to more discussions about road safety in Georgia. An important question is if any person will be allowed a marshutka license again, and for how long will it be after having a wreck like that caused during a pass that was probably in the Svaneti part of things before going out of the mountains, because anyone who's taken that marshutka route will know that that happens a lot. Batumi will host the International Investment Forum Batumi 2015 on the 18th of September. The forum is co-organized by the government of Ajada National Investment Agency and U.S. real estate company Cushman Wakefield Veritas Brown. It's a networking forum for business people to discuss investment opportunities in Georgia. Some bad and wet weather throughout the country. On the 23rd of August, emergency crews evacuated more than 350 people by helicopter from the Tusheti region. The roads leading to Tusheti were damaged by landslides. A bunch of tourists were stranded there. The Tusheti Khevsudeti hiking path were closed, as well as roads through Ardoti Valley. A few days earlier, on the 20th of August, heavy rains and hailstorms damaged houses and crops in parts of Kaheti around the town of Kvareli. According to preliminary estimates, the hailstorm damaged about 1,500 to 2,000 hectares of vineyards. Ministry of Regional Development and Ministry of Finance were instructed at a government meeting to assist in fixing 1,300 damaged houses. And on the 25th of August, there were heavy rains in Batumi causing floods and power cuts. In Poti, an electricity substation was struck by lightning and power was cut to parts of the city. Grape harvesting season is coming. The Rteli Coordination Center for Grape Vintage was opened in Tel Aviv by the government. It's supposed to provide support to wine growers and producers. As a reminder, the government is giving grape subsidies to farmers to encourage production, 0.35 lari per kilo for Rkatsiteli and Katsuri Msvane, and 15 tetri per kilo for Saperavi. Following up on a Georgian-Israeli business forum from last week, Georgian investors are contributing to build a new five-star Rixos Hotel in the center of Jerusalem. The president of Israel Georgia Chamber of Business said that the Georgian-Israeli business communities will work together on the project and has an investment portfolio of $100 million. And likewise, Israeli business community is investing in a Rixos Hotel project in Tbilisi. There are more details on Israeli investment in Georgia. The construction of a Gergeti Hotel with an investment allegedly of $25 million, an art hotel, $12 million, Rustavelli Boutique Hotel, $5 million. And for later in September, Israeli funds will help build a hotel apartment with $7 million and a business center with $20 million. No more details for now on what all those are. Ministry of Culture and National Agency for Cultural Heritage Protection are restoring 11 medieval towers in the mountain village of Mutso in Khevsudeti. The National Examination Center released figures on the university entrance exams. 39,000 high school students participated in university entrance exams this year. More than 28,000 have passed. Of those, 3,700 students received good enough grades to get full state financing of 2,500 lari for the year. There was a special training for rural women leaders hosted in Tel Aviv that was led by the Women's Information Center with support from the Central Elections Commission. It was on informed society and women during the election process. The women were chosen from Shida Kartli region because the region had poor female election participation and engagement in the last election and has an IDP population. Documentary film by Georgian director Toma Chagelashvili called Little Berlin Wall was invited to participate in the Amsterdam International Documentary Film Festival. Even though the film is still in the editing process, the Little Berlin Wall was filmed by Georgia's T-Studio last year and shows daily life in the village of Khurvaleti and Russia's creeping occupation and barbed wire fence. The National Library of Ireland gave Georgia State Museum of Theater, Cinema, Music, and Choreography several original articles from the 19th century newspaper The Times that talk about the Megrelian-Dadiani family. They are planning to publish them in cooperation with the Dadiani Palace. Through Instagram, the president of L'Oréal Palace publicly invited 19-year-old Georgian model Anna Akhlediani to Paris. Presumably, a meeting would lead to her becoming a face of L'Oréal Paris. Previously, Akhlediani was the first Georgian model to appear in an editorial in Elle magazine. The meme this week is a Photoshop photo of the face of by Nuzar Metrovelli, who is a pro-UNM guy, with Bitsina and Kharibashvili as the Ali and Nino statue in near embrace. Stuff to read. New York Times visits Manhattan location of Tone Cafe, with an accent over the E, near Gramercy Park, which is apparently a takeout cafe but serves khachapuri and msvadi with ajika. They also have borjomi and tarragon soda. CNN looks at modern art culture in Georgia, visiting graffiti artist Dr. Love, the Sukhashvili Ballet, the creators of Tbilisi Fashion Week, and the people working in Georgia's contemporary film industry. The Kiev Post reports on Misha's accessible approach to reforming Odessa, and also apparently he plans to open a sort of Georgian-style public service hall. GB Times has summer snapshots of Georgia. This week's CRC blog looks at Georgians' internet and social media usage. The videos of TEDx Tbilisi from June 2016 are now up on YouTube. There's a talk by Natalia Antalava on reporting from Burma and reforming journalism. All these things are posted on the forum. Geocapital number is 80. That is the percentage of students who had the highest scores in the National University Entrance Exams that chose to study at Kaja Bendukidze's Free University, according to information from Free University. On the 3rd of September at Tbilisi at Holiday Inn, there'll be a conference presenting on road safety and advocating for pedestrian safety. It's organized by the Georgian Alliance for Safe Roads. And also, there's a lot of Georgian rugby going on right now in the next few days, a World Cup in the UK. So those that are in the UK, check it out. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1972, Horace Andy. This is Mr. Bassey.